It's the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America. The National Security Hour exposes the wolves in sheep's clothing and their nefarious plots to undermine and destroy U.S. national security. Welcome to the National Security Hour. Tonight we have a special panel of hosts that include Mary Fanning, Major General Retired Paul Valley, myself, and then our special guest, Mr. John Ritchie. Now, the purpose of today's roundtable is really to bring you up to speed from, and give you our perspective on a variety of key issues and events that are happening now across the globe and here in the United States of America. We'll talk about Israel, we'll talk about China, Russia, we'll talk about Joseph Stalin, Joe Biden, and we'll also talk about preparations for our next elections and what we need to do to prepare for the next elections. Because as you remember, back in 2020, everything was burning beforehand and things were going to go in total flames after. So without further ado, let me introduce the co-host for today, Mary Fanning, who is our executive producer for the National Security Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. She's an investigative journalist, an excellent investigative journalist, and also author on the American Report covering national security. Major General Retired Paul Valley. Paul is a regular, not only on the National Security Hour, but also on other programs like J.B. Wells' Arc Midnight and the Intelligence Briefing. Major General Valley's last assignment was the Deputy Commanding General, U.S. Army Pacific in Honolulu, Hawaii. He's had a stellar career, starting at the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, and served over 32 years in the U.S. Army. And our guest today, Mr. John Ritchie, he's the founder of CEO of a Dallas-based Focal Media. Okay, he's a principal at GDI Risk Advisory Group, a global risk and strategy consulting firm. He's been managing director of JP Morgan in Asia, head of global security and controls for JP Morgan operations in Southeast Asia, China, and India. And he was also an operations officer, having worked at the CIA like I did for a number of years. His specialty and focus was in China, Pakistan, Jordan, and Central America. So without further ado, let me turn to Ms. Fanning to start this ball rolling here. Again, we have a variety of different topics to bring you up to speed on. Mary, over to you.
Well, what we're looking at, I believe, is the mess that Joe Biden has created. None of this that's taking place globally would had to happen. Joe Biden cut off the spigots in the United States. Global currency is energy. Joe Biden cut the energy in the United States. He handed our petroleum reserve to China. And he put us behind the eight ball as he's running us into World War III. Everything that is happening can be laid at the feet of Joe Biden. This goes back to Joe Biden, to his entire history in government. Remember, he was put in place by the Council for a Livable World, a communist organization founded by the Soviet Silvermaster spies. Joe Biden, it was interesting, we had a conversation, one of our generals gave me a backstory about Joe Biden and someone that he worked with who had been a POW with John McCain. John McCain was loathed by this man. The man became a U.S. senator. When the general was with this man, he walked into his house and there was an envelope, and it was thanking him for his donation to the McCain campaign. He said, well, this is really out of the ordinary. Why would you donate to this man? And he said, because I've served in the U.S. Senate. And the only person that I could say that is the most destructive, the man that I fear the most, should he ever get his hands on directing the United States of America, is Joe Biden. And that man has now passed away. But he saw the danger of Joe Biden, and we're watching the destruction of him. Back to you, Ed.
No, thanks, Mary. You know, it's very interesting as we look at Joe Biden and where we're coming, as General Valley talked right before we come on, is where we're going with the 2024 elections here, is people tend to want to focus on the micro and minor type of issues and such and forget about the forest for the trees. So as I turn to General Valley and then John Ritchie, let me ask you the question here is, from Joe Biden's statement of a minor incursion is okay by Russia into Ukraine to him then calling on Israel to do a ceasefire even before they had even launched operations within the day after the 7 October attack. Is this really a battle between good and evil, or is this also a battle not only between good and evil, but between a man who is a Manchurian president and the freedom and independence here in America? Let me turn to General Valley first. Paul?
Well, thank you, Ed. Certainly, Bibi Netanyahu, who's in charge, he's going to do what he wants to do, along with his staff over there in Israel. They did have a attack go wrong 2 days ago, or maybe, well, within the last 48 hours when they attacked that very large medical station in southern Gaza, and many aid workers were killed. So that's come to front on the forefront here. But, you know, when we look at the election, and we did get word confirmation, I would say firmly that Obama's in charge of the White House. Biden is not. We know he's been running that with his staff over at Colorama, which is his home mansion in the Washington area. But even though he was in New York with Biden and Clinton raising all that money, Obama realizes Biden will not ensure victory in 7 months. And so Obama, as I understand it, has really taken over the whole operation. But the Democrats, the left-wing Democrats, will do everything they can, the Democratic Party, to ensure that Trump will not get elected. And even if they create some kind of a situation where they're going to create martial law, they're going to create some kind of an event, maybe, that they'll call off the election or delay it. So those things are out there, and they're not necessarily what we'd call conspiracy theories. These are the planning ideas and strategies that the left-wing Democratic Party have. So we have to make sure that we have election integrity. That's in place in all of our, I guess, 3,200 plus counties throughout the United States. We've got to ensure that we don't have the excessive criminal activity that we saw back in 2020, that we have the sheriffs in charge of our counties. They need to be responsible. The governors have to be responsible. And from that, we've got a real challenge, for sure.
Thanks, Paul. And if we turn to John, John, you know, Russia, the minor incursion, Israel, the ceasefire, and then Iran, the JPA. You know, what are your thoughts in terms of Biden and his wonderful foreign policy?
Yeah, I think a lot of this is connected. And by the way, thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate you doing this. I think a lot of this is all linked, and as we look at his foreign policy and where that's gone, whether it is in the Red Sea and out in Gaza and that area, whether it's in Crimea and Russia or China and Taiwan, all this is part and parcel of the same thing. And I've said this before. Let me give you an example. Right now in Russia, they lost Navalny. They've had some setbacks there. Putin has not been as willing to give in to the world, the World Economic Forum, this cabal. So what we're seeing happen there is that us, India, Russia, these countries out here that have not been willing to go in on this globalist cabal, we're seeing the acts against us, whether it's against us here in the U.S. internally with the massive migration, whether it's the acts against this spurring on between Russia and the Ukraine and this war that's going on there, or whether it's what's going on for Gaza and that piece of real estate out there. That's really, that's all that's about. That's about a piece of real estate. when you look at these three things and what's going on here, they're linked because it's the same argument. It is, why can't we get these countries to fall in line? Why can't we get these countries to come in line and become a part of a global governance? And they refuse to. You don't have to like Putin or like the Russian way to understand that they're not part of this. Putin's kind of made that roll over to the Russia first and what's best for Russia. The United States, same thing. The people of this country are saying that we need to think about ourselves first. And you see what's happening is with these kind of moves, and even India and Modi, you don't have to agree with that or believe those elections were real to be able to say, hey, look, here's a country that shut down the massive attempt to do some form of color revolution there a couple of years back. So these countries, they can't have us all out here just flailing around on our own, having elections and talking about freedom and having our own voice. They want us to fall in line. So the Biden, and like you said, I think it was the general that was talking about the Obama running things. That's come out to be true. We've seen it. It's been said. It's been reported. There, you know, you just at some point have to believe it. That's who's running this. This is just part two of what he started. So going back to that, I mean, we're seeing that what's happening in Taiwan right now with the earthquakes. You had the tsunami in Japan now, and you've got, and now just recently, Taiwan, of course, slipped, and I'm using bunny ears here, that we have troops over there in those islands near the Kinmen Islands and places like that. So, and some of that reporting is coming out intentionally for us to understand where we are on this. And so absolutely, when you look at it from the micro, and that's the international, and then you are the macro, and then you come down to the micro, and what you guys are talking about in this country, election-wise, it's all part and parcel. It's the same. It's connected. The dots are connected.
No, thanks for that. You know, so what I look at when you talk about the globalist cabal, when you talk about the radical left here in America, when you talk about China and other aspects in Russia, what I see are different centers of evil. And this is really a battle between good and evil. What I also see, as you highlighted, John, is there are a lot of linkages between those different centers of evil in terms of how they support and compromise one another. One of the key aspects here in terms of evil winning over good is our ability to deter. Now, deterrence is defined by Oxford Dictionary as deterring or preventing by fear, the reduction or likelihood of war by fear, nuclear weapons, or other aspects. So beyond nuclear deterrence, which I still think is somewhat effective, let me go back to Mary and Paul and you all and ask you, is deterrence working here? And has Biden enabled a greater deterrence from our adversaries, or has he enabled basically the removal of deterrence? Let me go back to Paul.
Well, obviously, he's not providing any deterrence. But you know, Ed, you bring up the evil in the world. How about the U.S. government? Are they part of that evil?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's some of the leaders, not the a lot of the workers themselves, fantastic, patriot. But as you and I know for a long time now, they've been overtaking the leadership.
Yeah.
And it's just an abomination. But I'm sorry, Paul, back to you.
Well, it's just something to think about, Ed, that we're certainly guilty of an evil government that we have that is totally dismantling our country. And our two books that are out now, Beyond Treason and Invisible Treason, both of those books identify a whole change in what's happening, Ed. You know, aiding and abetting enemies of the world, giving money to Iran, and basically incentivizing the cartels, working with the Chinese Communist Party, and General McInerney pointed out yesterday in an interview, economic treason that Biden took on the first week that he was in the White House, where we're gone to energy dependency rather than independent. So all of these things are working around the world, and they are evil. There's no doubt about it. That's why the patriots of America, we've got to stand up in this next 7 months, and we've got to make sure we can secure this country. You know, we brought up yesterday, John, what are the generals and admirals doing to save our country? Their oath is to protect America and its citizens. The situation with the cartels that I provided Trump was to take out the cartels. because they are an enemy, and they're incentivizing the drugs within our communities, and so they are an enemy. It's not a Border Patrol thing. This is a military operation that needs to be conducted by taking out the cartels. And I know with our plan, General Boykin and I could take the cartels down in 7 days with a special ops operation. I mean, so there's a lot of things that aren't going to be done by Biden and Obama, of course. And that's why we really need to make sure Trump is elected and do everything we can the next 7 months.
No, absolutely, Paul. And you raise a critically important point, and I want to re-highlight, is when other countries look at America, they look at what happened in our 2020 elections. They look at the weaponization of our government against the people and stuff. They start to wonder, and countries like China and Russia look at us and laugh. They say, how are they different from us anymore? So, Mary, what are your thoughts on that? Because this is, and we got about a minute before break here, but over to you, Mary.
Okay. Well, they're saying we're not different than that. And that came with Barack Hussein Obama and the tectonic shift that he brought to the United States. The stolen elections, everyone knows that this is the Manchurian in office right now. We have the proof. The DNI, John Ratcliffe, came out and said China entered our election. He said that on January 8th, 2020. Everything that Obama has done, and he is a puppet master along with his buddy George Soros, they are here to destroy the United States of America, to take our freedom, and everything that's been taking place. Has anyone ever seen the trains all going down? Now the bridges are going. This is an attack on America. But what people should be very concerned about, this is an attack to prepare us for losing as they are stealing our country. And the people that are coming in are all military-age men, and this is in the millions. Are you prepared for that, America? Millions of military-age men from China and other adversaries who have hated the Americans because of what our CIA and some of our government officials have done over time. Back to you, Ed.
No, thanks, Mary. So as we go to break here, we're going to come back and continue this discussion and get John Ritchie's input here. But just remember, all of our shows go to podcast. Typically a day after broadcast is heard here on Talk Radio. You can hear us on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcasts, and many more. Be sure to subscribe and rate our shows on the Apple Podcasts for us. We'll be right back.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit HealRight.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
ASEA believes that inside each of us is the potential to feel our very best. Our redox-based products tap into reserves within you to power your personal well-being. Make our breakthrough products an essential step in fulfilling your greatest potential. ASEA, we power potential. For exclusive savings, use code OUTLOUD to save 15% off your first order today.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Lifestyle changes are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created heart and vascular health to support cholesterol and blood pressure with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. Our hosts today are Major General Retired Paul Valley, our executive producer Mary Fanning, myself Ed Hoagland, and today our special guest John Ritchie. John, with your background and experience across East Asia, security, and other aspects, you know, what are your thoughts on what we're just covering here related to Biden, the subversion in America, and are there any differences now between our current government and those in China and Russia.
Yeah, I think it's important that when we look at what's happening here, and it started with Obama and it's gone on through, but really, really, this whole thing came into the makings way before this. I mean, when unrestricted warfare came out in the late 90s, and we saw, and this was the two PLA officers, Shao and Wang, wrote this book, and it was pretty much a blueprint for how China could conquer the West without having to fire a shot. And all these things we're seeing happening right now that started back in that time period when the PLA, when these two PLA officers wrote this book and released it. And I even remember for a long time, my old organization would not take that book as any kind of intel. They didn't buy into it. It had been translated, done. And it's just been recently when people in the IC, in the intelligence community, have started looking at it and going, maybe there's something to this. But you have to remember that all these people, the World Economic Forum gang, the Bidens, the Obamas, the people that are the globalists, they're all part of this. They're owned by this. I heard somebody refer to this as the Manchurian Candidate. I think it even goes bigger than that, because when you look at the macro of this, this is all being run and funded by China. Well, you know, you can go everything from the mass global illegal migration to what happens in all these initiatives out at the World Economic Forum to what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now between Biden and Obama and the people running this administration. It's all it all comes and is funded and supported through the Chinese government. This is where that's coming from. And when people can finally stop and say, look, this isn't about Obama anymore. This isn't even about Biden. This is about a foreign force that is waging war on this country to disrupt it and overcome it. When we can get take our shades off and really see what's going on, then we can quit having, you know, you still have people in the streets having discussions about Republicans and Democrats. And it's a ridiculous conversation to have. You had Nikki Haley and some of these other people running around trying to become a candidate for president, and they were talking about tax cuts and things like that. We're losing our country right now. This country's dying. And it's dying because we refuse to see the enemy. And the enemy isn't an American enemy anymore. It's a foreign country that is invading this country right now. So what you said, Mary, is absolutely right. What the general said is absolutely right. We're going to have to figure out at some point, people are going to have to decide what side they're on. And they're going to have to decide how they plan on defending this. I am seeing some positive things happening. I think what happened in Nebraska this morning or yesterday with the turn of their electoral votes. Okay, that really puts a chop into what Democrats can do. But in the same sense, you look at they're flying in hundreds of thousands of people into Texas and Florida. I just saw a report yesterday that said 250,000 people registered march in Texas because Texas doesn't require an ID. They can use a Social Security card. All these things are just pieces. You could go right back to unrestricted warfare and read about it. It's there. And that's what I'm saying is we got to get to a point where we get our heads right and we go, what's happening in Washington, D.C. right now isn't part of the U.S. government or the American people anymore. It has nothing to do with us.
John. And so there are a couple key things here to look at. So John's talking about unrestricted warfare, which was written in 1999. And they've been implementing this for over 25 years. We're in our military, in doctrine in the military. They're still working on simple doctrinal phases on influence, on cognitive warfare, and unrestricted warfare type activities. Okay, it's like watching someone play tic-tac-toe while the Chinese play Go, okay? But the challenge here, as John highlighted, with unrestricted warfare, is highlighted by a comment in an article by Frank Fong in Epoch Times, where he noted, there is a war without gunpowder, and it's happening in cyberspace, experts say. But what they miss in that article is, as John pointed out, it's not just happening in cyberspace. It's happening in the economy. It's happening in education. It's happening in the social programs. It's happening in healthcare across our government here. And when you take a look at whether it's the illegal bioweapons lab in California, which is still a huge question, and they had thousands of vials of infectious diseases, okay? The government's going out with a warning to governors that foreign hackers are carrying out disruptive cyber attacks against our water and sewage systems throughout the country. You take a look what happened with the Keystone Pipeline and the Russian cyber elements there. And you put these things together, as John, Mary, and Paul are talking about. You have a litany of multiple different events, food processing plants. The Key Bridge is still in question as to what happened there. But what you'll see here in common amongst all these things, they deal with food, fuel, and water. Now, what's the country need to survive? Food, fuel, and water. And where is the soft underbelly in America in those three areas, in our major logistics systems and stuff? And so when you take a look at what's happening right now in America with the mass illegal migration, 70,000 Chinese military age men now in the country, the cartels and other stuff, violent gangs running different things. How much of an effort do you think it would take for them to then cripple America and therefore our economy in just a heartbeat? Let me go back and start with Mary on this question. And what are your thoughts, Mary?
Well, unrestricted warfare is China's plan to take us down. In fact, we translated, there were two speeches by General Hoshin. And when the American people understand, it's so important that John brought this up as well. When the American people understand how they say that they need, first of all, they own our land, that they have always owned it, and we don't belong on it. But the if you go to the AmericanReport.org, you can read the full translation. But the pre-speech was fully demonic on how they felt that they had the right to kill everyone in the United States of America. And they refer to the Red Dragon, which is General Valley, is a reference to the good versus evil. And they have no problem killing all the American people. So when people tell you that they want to kill you, believe them, and particularly believe them with the communist CCP of China, because that is what they're here to do. And if people first understand unrestricted warfare, but look at everything that Joe Biden, Barack Obama, if Barack Obama had not done his JPOC deal with Iran and given billions of dollars to Iran, which President Trump apart, Joe Biden put back in place, if that had not happened, then Iran would not have been funding terrorist groups to attack Israel. So everything that is in place that is happening today is a result of Joe Biden and Barack Obama and those behind them. And you've got also Russia saying that they want, we translated a National Defense Journal in Russia. They said to kill us in our ports. Ask yourself, why would Joe Biden and Barack Obama set the table and bring Gulf Caner while they'd just gone into business with Russia for the exporting of the Club K, which launches nuclear, biological, chemical weapons? Why would they have brought the enemy inside the wire with the ability to launch on us? At the same time, Russia was saying that they would do their part to take us down in our ports. That was in their National Defense Journal. So you cannot look at what Barack Obama and Joe Biden have done and not see that not only did they light the world on fire to mold it to their heart's content, but it was to they funded our adversaries toward our destruction. And if you see what's coming, we have a responsibility to stand up and stop it.
We absolutely do, Mary. And, you know, when you talk about what's going on with this unrestricted warfare, we remember the China balloon. We have 170 million Americans on TikTok. We have Chinese police stations. We have Confucius Institutes throughout America here. And Paul, you know, as a former deputy PACCOM commander, you know, this one or two of these things, okay, maybe an anomaly, maybe an anomaly. But all these things together speak to a concerted, well-thought-out strategy, not only by China, but those who are aiding and abetting them here in the United States. What are your thoughts, Paul?
Well, absolutely. Aiding and abetting the enemy. And again, that's what our two books are about. But when you look at preparedness, the question we have to ask ourselves here in April of 2024, election in November 2024, are we prepared to counter the ultimate threats to America? That's the question to be answered. And of course, I would say, no, we're not prepared. And I'll go back again to our military that are responsible for protecting America. Are these woke generals and admirals prepared to take action to protect the American citizens. And so that's another question raised. We have reenlistments down. People do not want to go into the military today. We have CRT, DEI, diversity training, transgender. And, you know, you look at General Milley, who was a Joint Chiefs of Staff. You know, he said he was afraid of this white rage and white terror. And the only thing I said in several shows after I commented on what he had said, the only white terror rage I saw was General Milley. But that's how these people got twisted. And that's these people are in positions of power and authority within our government. Now, I'll go back to another thing that we haven't raised yet. Congress, everything's political in this country. We need to look through a reality prism, not a political prism, to solve our problems. Okay? And if we don't do that, we're not going to survive. You can't legislate what's happening to counter what's happening in America. This is not a legislative process. This is a leadership process. And when John brought up Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum, they're taking this global leadership when they meet in Davos, when they meet in other places. And when you have Bill Gates also is on our list of committing treason against the United States, along with George Soros and many others. So this is the dilemma. We do not have the people in charge now that can solve these problems, and we can't do it legislatively. They want to legislate on the border. No, no, we just have to shut down the border. As I told General McInerney yesterday, I'd send the 2nd Armored Division from Fort Hood, and I'd put them on the border. There wouldn't be anybody coming into this border. Shut it down in 24 hours. But this leadership, lack of leadership in the White House with Obama and Biden, they're not going to do that. So here we have this 7 months that we've got to really take action to save our country.
No, absolutely, Paul. So from that strategic perspective, John, let me turn to you and ask you two questions. One is, I agree with Paul, we're not prepared. So from your perspective, how do we best prepare for what's coming here to ensure we actually have an election? But two is, we're in a perpetually reactive posture here based on the things Mary, yourself, and Paul are pointing out here. How do we move from a reactive to a proactive posture and upset China's table from your perspective, given your experience in there? So back over to you, John, on those two questions.
You know, one of the things I had an interesting discussion with, you probably know him, L. Todd Wood. He's yes. a media type, and now he's and runs his own media, online media platform. But he and I were discussing this because one of the things that I see happening here is that going forward, they're going to have to do some things to, like I think somebody mentioned, to be able to keep us in our house, to be able to restrict voting, things like that. They've got us arguing whether you should vote early or vote on game day. All these nonsensical things that we shouldn't even be having a discussion about right now. One of the things we're seeing, we've seen the food plants being burned to the ground. We've seen the train derailments. We've seen what's happening in Maryland with the bridge collapse and on the dolly there. I mean, all these things are all, it's the same stuff. It's attack on infrastructure. You talked about what are the things we need to be able to survive and go forward, and they're attacking those things. We're seeing that firsthand. Then what do you have going on now? You have this invasion. It's land across our borders, sea. It's coming up from Haiti and all the Haitians coming in through Florida, and it's coming from air now. They're bringing them into Texas and into Florida and into Arizona, by the way. There's another 100,000 of them that they brought into here because they're trying to get those votes taken care of. So we've got an invasion. They're attacking our infrastructure. General, you're a military guy. I came from the military as well as the intel space. I know what an invasion looks like. I know what an attack looks like. And you got these different vectors going on. You're asking what we should be doing. And this is the same thing. I read this great book, Tactical Civics. And it talks about how we've got to become localized. We've got to resist. We've got to start having our own local. You have to have those local grand juries. You have to have the local militia, and quit making the militia look like a biker gang. It's not. It's a group of citizens like us that take responsibility for our government. governance. We're not going to abdicate it to some centralized behemoth in D.C., which isn't even a state, has nothing to do with us. So we have to get to a point where we recognize how we have to start again. And we're going to have to do things like secure our own technology. We're going to have technology, or even if we go to war, technology is going to be a piece of the battle space. So we're going to have to own our own there. Then we're going to have to start looking at how do we prepare ourselves. You should have those 90-day, rations of food and things. And I have no commercials here or anything. I'm just simply saying you should have your Second Amendment supplies ready to protect you and your family and all these things. But we have to become a part of what's going on around here. I am seeing some positive things. I really am. I'm seeing where we're on top of things when they develop. Back in 2020, I look back and I think we would have never seen this thing in Nebraska, these registrations, these ridiculous registration numbers out of Texas and Florida and Arizona, which now we're going to be able to go in and we're going to go to court and sue over them. I can see where we're much more, we're having the battle over jurisdictions or congressional mapping in New York. And so you're seeing, and we won up there. We actually had something happen in our favor because we got in front of it. So I'm seeing some of these things, but we gotta prepare on these different levels, these different structures, whether it's personal protection and whether it's us getting involved in what's going on around us locally, or whether we're looking at it from a macro and understanding that. But be sure to understand these people in Washington, D.C. right now do not represent us. That is a totally different, that might as well be Beijing there. They represent us no differently than Beijing or Tehran represent the people of this country. And if we recognize that.
No, you're absolutely right there, John. As we go to break here in a second, we're going to come back and let you answer the second part of the question there in terms of how do we move from a reactive to proactive posture with China, given your expertise and stuff. So think about that. But you're right about it. It goes back down to the individual, to the people, to your neighbors, local civics and such. Be sure to make AmericaOutloud.news your daily stop for all the latest news and happenings. We must all do our part. We must all do our part and share the stories, the articles and podcasts and videos so we can help secure America's future. We'll be right back.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
58 million people suffer from joint aches and stiffness in the U.S. every day. Ignoring chronic joint discomfort can affect mobility and your quality of life. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created joint health and mobility to support connective tissue, joint lubrication, and reduce joint irritation with curcumin, omega-3, chondroitin, glucosamine, and hyaluronic acid for joint comfort and flexible range of motion. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with clinically proven ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 11 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. It's 100% drug-free joint support. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
Welcome back to the National Security Hour. Today we're discussing a litany of different topics, from Israel to China to Russia to Biden to the elections. And as we left off, John Ritchie, our special guest today, was talking about what we can do here in America as individuals, people, and that's what it really comes down to. You can't rely on the federal government. You have to rely on your local civics, people, and other aspects here. But the other question I asked John was, you know, we have a perpetual reactive posture related to China. We wait for them to act and then we react. That's a losing posture. So, John, given your expertise in that area in Asia, what kind of ideas do you have to drive us from a reactive to a proactive posture with respect to China?
Well, one of the things that I would say is that we're at war, and we should all recognize that war doesn't necessarily mean it's kinetic, as you and the general would know. It also means we have other elements of war. And in this case, we have an information warfare going on that's very significant in this country right now. And one side wants to be able to control the information. But what we should be for is more information. In other words, I don't care what they say, but I want my point out too. And what I want to do is let's have the debates, let's have the arguments, let's get more information out there. You know, this whole concept of disinformation, it's a ruse, it's a lie, it's been there from the start. It was created by my old organization, and it's used to be able to censor or beat down people from putting their information out. We should have more information, and people should be able to make decisions on what they believe. They may believe the wrong thing. They may believe the right thing, but at least they've got all the information. What we have to do is do what we're doing right here, but on different vectors, at different platforms, and I'm seeing more and more of that now. It's much harder for some talking head geek commie on MSNBC to sit and talk about something that they believe and just let that become the narrative. It's much more difficult for them now. I'm seeing the turn now. I'm seeing more where the people in power now realize that they're having to fight. They just can't sit up there and put out a talking point, let it sit. There's too many different, and some of these alternative media and information distributors, they may not be all MAGA. They may not be all right. Some may be to the left. Some may be to the center. That's fine. But what you don't have is one channel of distribution of information anymore, and we can react off of it. I want to refer back to this thing in Nebraska about these electoral votes and how they were one of the only states, I think there's one or two of them, and they were one that the Democrats count on because they give the electoral votes out by congressional wins, district wins, instead of winner take all, like all 48 states do. So they have been holding on to this. Well, we got a Republican government. Well, it got into the media cycle yesterday. I heard somebody mention it, bring it up, and said that's got to change because somebody up there already had the bill in place, and the red Republican governor had not signed it. Refused to sign it. I'm going to tell you, he got a beat down in the media. And this morning I woke up and it was right there in the cryon on the news. He's going to sign this bill and make it a winner take all. Okay. The Biden was counting on that one, because if it ends up in a tie, Nebraska, he pulls one extra vote. He didn't get it now. All of them go to the winner, and that's a red state, and that'll be a Trump win. So my point being is that's how quickly a media cycle acted in our favor. What we need to have is more of that. That's offense right there. That's power. And that's where things like what we're doing here, things like what happened in some of these distributed places where we don't have, where it's not on cable, it's not on AT&T, it's not, you know, it's, and people are learning where to go and get that information. That's what has to happen. We have to start fighting the information war now.
No, absolutely, John. So part of what, you know, Paul talked about is looking through a reality prism, and I agree, but what we're missing from my perspective is long-term strategy, because the left methodically plans to have a detailed strategy. And let me give an example here, then I'll turn to Mary. So over the last couple of years here, in cognitive war, they'll use different ways and means to achieve their end. Different ways, meaning ideology, religion, or issues. One key issue that has been misappropriated and used by the left to cludgeon others is the transgenderism issue. Now, to tell you and show you how well thought out their strategy was from the beginning here, okay, from the beginning of the Biden administration, you can now take a look and you can see a recent U.S. intelligence agency publication called The Dive that goes out and wants to ban terms like radical Islamists, jihadists, and such. But more so in that publication, there's an anonymous article by an intelligence officer. Now, remember, this is paid for by your U.S. taxpayer. In this anonymous article, this officer, intel officer says, "I'm a man who likes to wear women's clothes sometimes. I think my experiences as someone who cross-dresses have sharpened my skills as an intelligence officer." Now, the first thing that came to mind when I seen this publication, The Dive, I'm thinking, okay, that's an appropriate term for the newsletter, because that's exactly what it is, a dive. But the other thing I thought about instantly with this intelligence officer, if they're so proud of what they're doing, why the hell are they anonymous? To me, this is a counterintelligence threat extraordinaire. I mean, you can blackmail these types of people. Now, you can't make this stuff up. Here's what he writes in the article. "I'm more aware of hopefully supporting my women colleagues because I now have a better appreciation for how it can be uncomfortable to wear women's clothes sometimes. I know firsthand how wearing heels makes your feet hurt and it can take longer to walk somewhere." Now, this is an intelligence community, but that's not only. My civil and constitutional rights were violated at the Army War College because I brought this issue up as it's being used in cognitive war, and that was called hate speech, and I was banned from the Army War College. DEI, thought control in the military. Our military academies have basically political officers who wear armbands who go around and report on people who don't follow the transgender or woke type language and other things. You had Biden eviscerate blasphemy the Sunday of Easter, one of the holiest days in the year, by making a transgender day of visibility. You have kindergarten students as young as 4 who are learning about penises and vulvas through a program in New York City's curriculum, where they're being told that some men have penises, some don't. Some women have vulvas, some don't. You have a 50-year-old man who's a transgender, who's proud of the fact, using experimental hormones, that he can now breastfeed his kid, his grandkid. You have a network of former intel officers, the 51 you saw, that go ahead and push the false dossier. And you have a top journalism school and many others in the universities that's pushing this DEI courses. And one of these journalist schools is now banning the phrase melting pot because it's considered racist. So, Mary, what I want to turn to you is, this is not just a happenstance set of events. This is, as John pointed out, this is about the control and flow of an information operations for specific purposeful reasons. In this case here, they're winning this war from my standpoint. What say you?
Absolutely, because they're bringing chaos and confusion to the United States of America. This is what that looks like. Everything is inside out, upside down. Study Saul Alinsky. Study Marxism. Marx is the first person that started using the word racism. You're a racist. But I suggest that people do study Saul Alinsky and learn to mirror what they say onto them. What they are doing is destroying the country. If people understood Johns Hopkins and the reports that they put out on people who are transsexual, number one group of people who will commit suicide. Understand the dangers of these bizarre thoughts. Understand Bill Ayers, you know, just the guy in my neighborhood from Barack Obama and his book Prairie Fires. Larry Graswald, who had infiltrated the Weathermen. They were having sex with children, group sex, bizarreness. Everything about them is filthy and perverse. And that is, understand, the day that Barack Hussein Obama was elected, Bill Ayers began visiting schools. You know where he was visiting? Kindergartens. What would the likes of a terrorist murderer be doing in kindergartens other than to spread his perversions? So that's part of what we're looking at. This is a communist revolution, a color revolution on the country. They're trying to break down our standards and our belief system. Also, I want people to understand, bills have been put in place to take America back. Donald Trump signed H.R. 7213, the Countering Weapons of Mass Destruction Act of 2018, and FIRMA, the Foreign Investment Risk Review Modernization Act. This was put in place. We visited with Dan Donovan, told him about the ports. He put these bills forward. Donald Trump signed them. So the bills are in place for our representatives. Remember, they represent us. They work for us to do the right thing. They need to be taking America back. Understand also, between 1913 and 1942, the United States loaned China $1.6 trillion. China paid the UK back that they owed these monies as well in the 1980s. They have never paid us back, the United States, or her people that also put forward these loans. So keep in mind that you're also looking at that same China that is responsible for the death of over 1 million Americans and counting with their CCP bioweapon, COVID-19. So understanding that Obama, by the way, handed over Smithfield Hams. The owner of that company wanted to sell to Brazil. Obama made him turn it over to the Chinese. So right now we have the ability to confiscate, based upon those two bills, H.R. 7213 and FIRMA, we have the ability to confiscate the lands that China has bought, our farms. That's a national security risk. The lands that they are around our military bases, and to remove the communist red dragon from America and take it back. The bills are in place. Our representatives have not done the right thing. They need to get on their off their duff and go to work and take this country back. They could pretend like they're maybe General Valley or General McInerney or one of you gentlemen and actually do the right thing and take the country back. In the meantime, I suggest that our fellow Americans start putting some pressure on their governors. They need to do the right thing. Remember, they work for you. Start taking and getting rid of, and I don't mean taking these illegal aliens that are receiving $2,200 a month from the American taxpayer. Our government has no money that they don't confiscate from the people. So those governors need to not remove them and put them in another state for that, make it their problem. Remove them from the country.
Absolutely.
And take your states back.
Absolutely, Mary. So, Mary, you've highlighted sort of the last question I had for the session today here, and I want to go to Paul, then John Ritchie, and then yourself very briefly, but we have about 5 minutes left, so about a minute and a half each. So Mary highlighted what could we do globally, but also what we could do domestically as we come up on this next election. And as we started this discussion today, Paul highlighted very appropriately that we need to take a look at what the heck we can do over the next several months here. So let me turn to Paul first and say, from a global perspective with Israel, China, Russian, Iran, et cetera, and then from a domestic perspective, what would you say to Americans in terms of how to prepare for this next election here, and from both the global and domestic? Over to you, Paul.
Well, I think it's going to be a very dynamic, a very serious next 7 months. We are in a civil war. This country is split. It could get bloody. I hope it doesn't. But we saw what happened in 2020. It can get bloody very quick on the streets, especially within our urban areas. One of the things we pointed out in America's Endgame for the 21st Century in the book was we need a spiritual awakening in America. We need to get back to honesty, integrity, and trust. Again, trying to solve our problems looking through a reality prism rather than a political prism. We're not going to get the action we need from our legislators. We need leadership, and we need a new president as soon as possible. But it looks like we're still 7 months out from that. But we have a lot of work to do. We have to be prepared. We expect cyber attacks against our grid system, probably some more action in our port areas. The enemies are working against America for sure. But here you have to understand, our leaders, our White House, our Pentagon, these people are playing a low-level game of checkers. Putin and Xi are playing a high-level game of chess, and that's the difference. and they're dominating now. We got to figure out how we get back to at least hold our own and perhaps dominate in the Western hemisphere, because we're not getting it out of Europe either, as you know.
Absolutely, Paul. Absolutely, Paul. And over to you, John. So we had about a minute for you to cover. What would you have us focus on globally and then domestically? And then we'll go to Mary.
I think we just need to be aware that the people that are in DC right now, there's not enough of them that are going to be able to help us. There really aren't. We have a speaker now that has gone, he's done every single thing he said he wouldn't do when he took office. And this goes back to what I was talking about before on this unrestricted warfare. It's called capture. It's called elite capture, political capture. It's bribery. All these people that promised you one thing but got into office and have done the exact opposite is because they're being forced to. That's why we've got congressional Republicans leaving office early but holding on to their seats so they can't have special elections. They're being bribed. Either they're being forced, they're being manipulated. And we've got to see that and understand that's a cleanup that has to happen after November 4th. But between now and November 4th, they're going to be in the streets. We're going to see it. It's going to happen. It happened before in the last election. It's going to happen again. But only now they've got about a 8 to 10 million person group of people that have been moved into this country that are going to assist with that. We need to be aware of it. The second thing I must say is get in any of the, they call it ballot chasing. There's states that have legalized it because of what happened in the last election. If you've got organizations in your state that are doing that right now, get involved in it. It's legal. They're doing it. They're setting up the organization for it. I know they're doing it here in Arizona. The second, the last thing I would say is don't wait till game day. Vote early. Get your vote in there. Make sure it's in the hands of the right people, because that's where the electronics hit. That's where the problems with the machines happen. And that's where they can control the crowd that day. So those are the things from the short term to the long term we need to look at. The ultimate goal is to get these people out of D.C. and get another president in there. And that person would be Trump. We're going to have to happen. This country is gone if it doesn't happen.
No, thanks very much, John. Thanks for joining us today. And Mary, about 30 seconds to give your final on global and domestic. Any additions?
So, yes, what we're looking at in the next 48 hours are saying that Iran is going to attack Israel in the next 48 hours. And if this happens, this is in response to the attack in Syria near Iran's consulate. That'll bring us much closer to going into World War III, which, of course, is what Obama and Biden want. And so our officials are not going to stop this. So as Colonel McGregor has said, make peace, you fools. And so if you see what's coming and you don't want to go into World War III, then get out on the campaign trail. Take pictures of everyone going in to vote. Start securing the vote. Do everything you can, because otherwise these fools will take us to war.
Absolutely, Mary. And so thank you all for joining us today on this global roundtable and domestic focus. What you're hearing about, you need to act, because it's up to you, the individuals. You need to vote, and you need to prepare for worst case scenarios, because you're going to have a reality that hell is coming on wheels and it may end up in your neighborhood. So you best be prepared. Thanks for joining us on the mission. The National Security Hour is the tip of the spear in the epic battle to defend the United States of America.